Pray for me. Amen. There's a couple of stories I want to tell you. One of them is, I'll tell you at the beginning, the other one at the end, the word. Many of you already heard the stories, but some haven't, so I wanted to make sure you heard the stories. When we were in the Carolinas, we had the opportunity to pray for a number of people. On Friday night, we had for three nights, we just did a little conference in Spartanburg, and on Friday night, the clergy from the Carolinas gathered and their wives, and we had a time of ministry with them, and then we met again on Saturday. And on Saturday, earlier in the week, we witnessed the Lord do some pretty cool stuff, and we had several reports of healings, and one person who had been wearing a brace for 3 weeks had injured his knee, and we prayed for him the next day. He came back to church, didn't have his brace, he'd been healed. And we had several things that happened that were pretty interesting. And that Friday night, we prayed for all the clergy and their wives. There was one guy, Dave Uholt, who's been here before, and he's a deacon from Wilmington, and he had the flu. And so I prayed for him. And the next day, we gathered for our meetings. The ladies met, and the guys met, and we just heard their hearts and shared their heart. Dave was sharing that he... he's healed of the flu, but he had been healed of all the symptoms. So that was cool. And but then, I guess it was last week, the first last week after one of the noon services, I went over to the office and there was this UPS box. And then I opened up the UPS box and there was this letter and there were these. And it was Dave, and Dave said, "When you prayed for me for the flu, you also prayed for me because I had ligament damage in my feet. And I'd had to wear these braces for a year." And I told them the story about Andre Bazette and how the walls of the church were filled with wheelchairs and crutches and all that kind of stuff. And he said, "I'm sending you these as the first seed to put on the walls of your cathedral as a testimony of the glory of God and His healing grace." And so these are these two little braces, but isn't that awesome? So that's our first installment, deposit of them. Hopefully there'll come a day when these walls will be covered with crutches and braces and wheelchairs, and not because I pray for people, because we're called to be a healing center. We're all praying for people. So I called the other priest, Phil Edge, and being a great man of faith that I am, I said, "You know that guy who had the knee brace on, is he still healed?" And he said, "Yeah, actually he is." I said, "Well, if you'll tell him, just in case he doesn't have great faith, because he might need those again, I'll buy that brace from him if you can get it so we can put it on the wall here at the cathedral." And so this is just a great story. And Dave said what happened was we prayed on a Friday night, and he woke up on Saturday morning and he noticed that there was hardly any pain. And he thought, "Wow." And then the next day, he was at home in Wilmington, the church, and there was no pain at all. And he went out and played Ultimate Frisbee with Mark Johnson, those guys, and had no pain at all. So isn't that cool? That's a neat story. So we'll nail him somewhere, attack him somewhere. Now I'm going to tell you stories today about, well, somebody want to come grab these? Thank you. There's no place to fit them. There are books everywhere. Thank you, my son. I want to talk to you a little bit today about just light and darkness. One of the things is that the Scripture makes it really clear that we're called to walk in the light. In the Beatitudes, it says, right after the Beatitudes, it says we're the light of the world, we're children of the light, we're to walk in the light, to see us in the light. And we've described personal renewal, revival, as a visitation from God that causes you to shine. "Let your light so shine," and that quote that I've quoted often, "In the time of their visitation they shall shine and run to and fro like sparks among the reeds and stubble." But in case you haven't noticed that in this fallen world, even though we're called to walk in the light and we're called to be the light of the world, and we have the opportunity, whether we want them or not, to walk through patches of darkness. Jesus said in John 16:33, "In this world you shall have tribulation." He said, "But be of good courage, I've overcome the world." But he didn't say, "Be of good courage, I've undone all that, and so you don't have to go through tribulation." The fact is that you do have to. And if we can make some sense out of that, that sometimes in walking with the Lord, even when we're experiencing real personal renewal, revival, that God allows us to walk through little patches of darkness. Sometimes there are little bitty patches of darkness, sometimes there are bigger patches of darkness. Making sense of all of that is really one of the real difference makers in our own growth and maturity and our own testimony. There's one word that I hope you'll see today that makes sense of it all. And it's the glory of God. It's glory. It's glory. And it's the glory of God. The little patches of darkness are all about the glory of God. Because we always think in terms of polar opposites like light and darkness. But darkness doesn't have to be light's enemy. It actually can become light's opportunity. And in this fallen world, Jesus said, it was a promise. So I can go ahead and give you a prophetic word and feel really comfortable about the 100% accuracy of this prophetic word. In this world, fallen world, you will have some tribulation. And you either are, have been, and I can absolutely promise will go through some patches of darkness as you walk out being children of light. But if you and I can catch a glimpse of the glory of God, it makes all the difference in the world, because those patches don't last forever. Scripture says there's an afterwards. Talks about that in Hebrews. There's an afterwards to these patches of darkness. And there's an afterwards to them. But they're going to come. And how we walk through those things and what makes sense to us is going to make a lot of difference. Let me just read to you a familiar passage of Scripture from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 4. "In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ," the light of the good news of the glory of Christ. We're walking, the New Testament time is the time of the good news about the glory of Christ. "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For listen to the Scripture. For God who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." Now, the word knowledge here, again, is not the word head knowledge. There are two words in the New Testament for knowledge, and one of them is experience. And this is the word experience. Do you know it because you've experienced it, not because you heard it and just learned it in your head? "For God who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the experience of the glory of God in the face of Christ. For we have this treasure," what? The glory of God, the light of the glory of God, the face of Jesus, the presence, the glory. "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed." Afflicted would be a patch of darkness, don't you think? Perplexed is a little patch of darkness. Been perplexed ever? Persecuted, rejected, struck down, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested, shine, in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may shine in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith, According to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore also we speak. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus, and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, summing up what I've just said, Paul's saying, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. And he's not just talking about getting older. He's just talking about living in a fallen world. We do not lose heart, though our outer man is decaying, though we walk through a world that has patches of darkness in it. Yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. He talks about his inner man being renewed day by day, momentary light affliction producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond our comparison, if we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In that verse 6, in chapter 4, he says two opposite things. And you have to look at this to realize that he's talking about two different aspects of light. First, he talks about, for us as believers, what's happening to us. For God, who said, light who shone out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. He talks about light shining out, but he talks about light shining in. For light shall shine out of darkness is the same one who has shone in our hearts, light shining in, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. In view of what he says, this is a really simple word, in view of what he said in chapter 2 later, therefore we do not want you to lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed day by day, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. So even though the scripture is going to say a lot about light shining out of darkness, as a matter of fact, darkness is not always the enemy of light. It's darkness that accentuates light. Light becomes brighter when it's in contrast to darkness, when it shines out of darkness. But he talks about light shining out, but he also says the light has shone into our hearts, giving us the knowledge, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. That whatever patches of darkness are meant to accomplish one thing, the glory of God, on two levels. One, that God will cause the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ to shine in your heart. Have you ever wondered why, when people go through the hardest stuff, that many times we know people who go through the hardest stuff seem to be walking under the greatest cloud of glory? So I watch what Joe and Regina have walked through lately. We haven't seen a manifestation of the healing yet. Am I holding out and contending for their healing? We sure are. Am I asking God for a good report? And it wouldn't surprise me at all about Friday being a good report. But at this stage, at least at this point, we haven't gotten the healed word yet. So the Lord's let them walk through it at this stage. And yet, I've never seen Regina and Joey walk under the spigot, the open faucet of the glory of God like they're walking through. And God's given them words that this isn't going to end in their life. And I don't think they would mind me sharing this a little bit, because I'm just sharing with you as friends, just the whole transition of coming back from Georgia and stuff, they were just walking through a dry season. But they're just walking in rivers of living water now. Just kind of open under this open heaven. And now, why does that happen? How does that happen? I mean, maybe, I don't know. Hearts for God. See, one of the things that either glory is going to happen or grief and bitterness and anger is going to happen. There's a real separation between those who are moving on from glory to glory and those who the enemy has snared, is how they're impacted by the patches of darkness that we find ourselves walking through. And again, sometimes those patches are more severe, more dark than others, and sometimes they last longer, and sometimes they're short little patches, just in a day. But I do know this, that God uses them to just kind of click up the desperation dial a little bit. It only takes one little step of desperation. It only takes me, listen again what this verse says, who has shone in our hearts, light coming in, to give the light of the experience of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And that when I find myself walking through patches of darkness, you know, I have a choice, and the choice being I can turn to Christ with my heart that's experiencing this patch of darkness. And if I do, He will shine into my heart the face of Jesus, the glory of God, the radiant presence of Christ. And again, this is a gift to us. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. It's unavoidable. Now, am I saying to you that you give in to stuff and you don't battle and contend for healing? Of course not. That's why I shared that story, first story. My prayer is, and God's, I think, given us a word about the chamber that we're called to walk in, and we're going to see many, many people healed. But why, if God's going to heal Regina, then thank you, Jesus. And I would be stunned if that doesn't come back good on Friday. But I'm kind of like Lazarus. Like, well, you could have done it a month ago and spared us this patch of darkness. But when I see how the light of the glory of God, the experience of the face of Jesus is shining on them and shining from them, but you can't get around them without confronting the face of Christ because of the glory of God that is just poured into their life. Because what they've chose to do in this patch of darkness is like any child would do. Cling when it gets scarier. It's really nothing more difficult than that. They embraced Him and He drew them in and they exposed their hearts to Him and He's shining the experience of the glory of God. And even though their outer man is being buffeted, decaying, their inner man is being renewed day by day. And this momentary light affliction is producing in them an eternal weight of glory. See, having a visitation from God doesn't mean you're not going to walk through patches of darkness. As a matter of fact, it can become the greatest opportunity for you to shine, to experience the shine of Christ in your life, the glory of God in your life, the face of God in your life. Listen to this, because we always think about this as just people getting older or dying, but hear this in the context of what Paul's saying. Earlier in verse 16, he says he doesn't lose heart. Because I'm telling you, if the glory of God is shining on your heart, though your heart's breaking, you wouldn't trade that for anything. You don't lose heart. Because he says, momentary light afflictions are producing for us eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Compared to the patches of darkness, the light that's shining in my heart, the face of Christ that's become clearer and clearer through this patch of darkness, this momentary light affliction is nothing compared to it. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is being torn down, even if we should die, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed, in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. And as much as having put it on, we shall not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, in order that mortal, that which is mortal, may be swallowed up by life. And I believe that one of the things that God gives you an opportunity is that when you walk through patches of darkness, you just get swallowed up by life a little bit more. Because, see, human beings think that death is the ultimate darkness, that the lights just go out. But the truth is, even in our death, Jesus says, "Oh, death, where is your sting? Where is your victory?" Because even that ultimate place for a human of our finiteness, we get swallowed up by light and life. And so in the process of walking through, the light shines in. The other thing the Scripture says about patches of darkness and about glory is that light shines out. Light shall shine out of darkness as the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Now again, He's the source of all light. And when we find ourselves walking through patches of darkness, we embrace Him and this light shines into our heart. We expose our heart to Him. Instead of just nurturing and feeling sorry for our, you know, just that whole thing that we do, and our anger and bitterness, we turn our hearts to Him and He shines the light, the glory of God in the face of Christ in us. Well, it's that light that's reflected from us. Light shines forth from darkness. Like no other time in your life. See, because it's an awesome story to tell the story of somebody being healed. That's also an example of light shining out of darkness. This dark place of sickness or affliction and healing comes forth. But when you go through patches of darkness that make no sense whatsoever, it's just part of the tribulation of a fallen world. There, the light that's shining in is now reflected out. And this whole chapter is about that thing. Listen to what he says again. We have this treasure, what? The face of Jesus like a light in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. We find somebody shining in a dark patch. There's only one explanation for that. The power of God. We're afflicted in every way, patch of darkness, but not crushed. Why? Because the light that's shining in. We're crushed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about the body, the dying of Jesus. The life of Jesus may be what? Manifest in our body so that we'll shine. Why does God let us go through patches of darkness? Because we live in a dark world, where we have millions and millions of people who live in darkness all the time. And He'll let us walk through patches of darkness because our light becomes like a beacon. Our light becomes like a lighthouse. We then manifest the light of the world. Because it's the contrast of darkness that makes light the most visible. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake. For His purposes, that the life of Jesus also may shine in our mortal flesh. So death's working in us, but life in you. He says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. I learned something from my son and my daughter-in-law, which I learned a lot, of course. And that when Foster sleeps, maybe all of you, I'm so old now, I never even heard of this. That it's called swaddling. Now, they didn't do that when we had Woody and Luke. And they kind of wrap them up in a little thing, and their arms can move, but they're, you know, part of it's to protect against SIDS and some other stuff, but they're just kind of like swaddled. They call it swaddling. And the first time I thought, my son's like a mummified person, my grandson, but it's like this awesome thing, you know, that they do. And he's just happy, and he's real content and feels real secure. And the Lord told me this when I was getting ready for this word. And I'll just read this to you. Because you remember when Jesus was born, they wrapped Him up in rags. And the shepherds came and just the glory of God that was there. And the Lord said, I swaddle my son with the rags of your humanity, Chuck, so that you can become the lamp of the Lord in a dark world. Those rags of my life become translucent, becomes the lamp that contains the glory of God. When those shepherds walked into that stall, smelly and stinky as it was, animals do what animals do, lying in this feeding trough full of bacteria and saliva, and wrapped in rags that were used to kind of clean the place up. That's all they had. To keep Jesus warm in those kind of cool desert nights that they experienced in Bethlehem and Israel. The glory of God was there. And when the shepherds came, they didn't stumble at the rags, because the rags were swaddling the glory of God, and all they could see was the face of Christ. Thank God that He swaddles Himself with the rags of our life and uses the rags of our life as the container, as the lamp, so we can be the lamp of the Lord. And when you and I go through dark patches more than any other time, it's a swaddling time for the Lord. He swaddles Himself with us and shines out of your rags, the rags of your humanity. Again, darkness isn't always light's opposite or enemy. But when seeded by God's grace and the thirsting heart of God for others, darkness becomes light's catalyst. And as I shared with you a few weeks ago, darkness becomes the womb of the morning. Why the dark patches? How to make sense of them? One, it's your opportunity for glory, for the face of Jesus to grow bright and strong in you, for the Lord to shine the experience of the glory of God as you cling to Him, as you embrace Him. As you become more and desperate for Him, He just fills you more and more with the kingdom. When the kingdom of God that is within you just bursts forth. See, we're always praying for revival, but the kingdom of God show up on the earth. Well, first we have to start with the kingdom of God showing up in us. Just pushing forth the glory of God. The kingdom of God is about the glory of God. And I'm going to tell you one of the great fire starters. One of the great places of your light being lit up in a new way is through a dark patch. So you experience the glory. In other words, I pray that not, in the physical way, I pray that not one of you will ever, ever experience another physical ailment that we don't see instant healing for. That's what I'm asking for. That's what I'm asking for. Is it possible that won't happen? I'm sure it is. But there are other kind of afflictions also, aren't there? Don't waste the dark patches. It's your glory time. But not just for you. But if you'll walk in glory, that light that shines in you out of that dark place that tried to surround your heart, the dark thing, the scary thing, the painful thing, whatever it might look like, if light is shining on your heart then becomes like this reflected beacon to others. When embraced, the dark patches for others. When transformed by love for others, then the darkness becomes our servant. And we become overcomers. Hear me. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures to you. One is from, I've read to you the last few years. Listen to this from 1 Peter. Now here's a mystery to me. I don't understand it. But it's something that the church has believed for 2,000 years. And the greatest light ever seemed to be the greatest darkness at Calvary. And when you're walking through dark patches, one, it is an opportunity for you to experience the glory of God. But it's also an opportunity for you to embrace that darkness for others. That God, somehow you would use me walking through this dark patch that the glory of God would shine on others. That the face of Christ, like the Batman thing, would shine out of me onto their hearts. They would encounter the face of Jesus. So I embrace this suffering for others. That in my testimony, but beyond my testimony, beyond time and space, Lord, I offer this to you as a sacrificial act of affection. And I ask that in taking, receiving this sacrifice, that you would pour out grace to heal fallen, broken humanity who are walking through the same kind of dark patches that I'm walking in. Do you understand that? Well, no, don't you understand it? I just want you to believe it. I don't know if you understand it. I don't understand it. God loves sacrifice if it's a true act of sacrificial affection. And if I take my pain, I offer it to Him and say, Lord, I offer this to you as a burnt offering. And I'm asking that in response to the sacrifice I'm offering to you, that you would pour out your grace to people I've never known who don't even get to see my shine. You just pour out grace to heal fallen and broken humanity who are experiencing the same kind of dark patch. And I've read this to you again. Let me just read it to you. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. That the proving of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I find myself praising and glorifying Him in the dark patch. And though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible. Why? Full of glory. Obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of souls. It's amazing. You greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory. Let me just say this to you, that if you walk in a dark patch and you turn your heart to Jesus, and all that darkness is crowding in on your heart, wanting you to cause you to be angry and depressed and resentful, self-pity and all that stuff, and you let the light of the face of Christ, the glory of God, shine on your heart, and you walk in glory, you're going to walk in joy inexpressible and praise, because nothing is like the glory of God. Then you get to offer that. And the people around you get to see it. I mean, how many of you can share how much you've been ministered to by these guys walking through this stuff? It's been so awesome. Because it's been the glory. And what's happened when you get up around them is the glory of God. Paul said it was his privilege to fill up that which is lacking in Christ's affliction for the church. That's what I mean by when you're going through something, a dark patch, you embrace it for others. When it's transformed by love, suddenly darkness becomes your servant. You become an overcomer. Then it makes sense that you're in union with Christ, who said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but cheer up. Be of good courage. I have overcome the world. And so we come in union with His overcoming heart, because the darkness becomes my servant and the servant of the glory of God. We become overcomers. The glory of God makes it possible to move beyond preoccupation with our own pain. He doesn't want us just to survive the dark patches. He wants you to serve there. And He wants you to shine there. I'll close with these couple of verses. Philippians. So then, my beloved, just as you were always obeyed, not in my presence only, but also much more in my absence, Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling and disputing and complaining, that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. You hear me? In 1 Corinthians 10, the testimony of the wilderness. And even though they drank from the same spiritual rock and ate spiritual food from manna, nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased. For they were laid low in the wilderness. A whole generation died in the wilderness. Now, these things happen as examples for us. We shouldn't crave evil things as they crave them. We should not be idolaters as some of them were, as written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. Let us be immoral as some of them were, and 23,000 fell in one day. So he refers to craving evil things, idolatry, immorality, and do not grumble and complain as some of them did, for they were destroyed by the destroyer. One of the big hindrances that kept them from ever entering into their Canaan and experiencing their inheritance was grumbling and complaining in the wilderness. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, when you have a fresh visitation from God, you're just thrust into Canaan. But there are little patches of wilderness in Canaan. It's an opportunity for glory. It's an opportunity for glory. It's an opportunity for you to experience the glory of God. It's an opportunity for others to experience the glory of God because you're walking through this dark patch. Sadly, though, many of us miss the opportunity. And we walk through the dark patch complaining and grumbling and murmuring the whole time. We keep our backs to the Lord. And our heart gets callous with bitterness and anger and resentment. And that's the only story we can tell. Our only testimony about the darkness is how bad it's been, how much it's cost, and how much it's hurt. Instead of turning our face to Jesus and the darkness that's attacking our heart and allowing the light of the glory of God and the face of Christ to shine in our hearts, and us to come out of the dark place and walk through the dark place talking about the glory of God. And how you are privileged to walk in the fellowship of His suffering and be in union with His overcoming in a world full of tribulation. And that not only did you know the glory of God, you're excited to know that embracing this opportunity, you offered up your pain. You offered up this confusion. You offered up all this dark patch to the Lord and said, Lord, use it. I give it to you as a sacrifice of praise. And I thank you for it. No grumbling, no complaining, no murmuring. It's yours. Lord, now pour out grace from heaven on other human beings who are walking through dark patches or who live in darkness and don't know anything about your glory. You hear me? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.